You're listening to After Hours by Red Compass Labs, the podcast where the best and brightest of the financial services industry let their hair down, unbutton their collars, and share what they really think about payments. Let's kick things off.
Hi, Wim Grootsemans. It's great to have you here on this After Hours podcast. Wim Grootsemans is the head of product, payments, and receivables at BNP Paribas. Great to have you here.
Pleasure.
So we're almost a year into ISO 20022. Where do we stand today? What are your views on how far we've come and where we're headed? BNP, obviously a large cash management bank, one of the large players in the world. Where do you stand with ISO today?
So, it's quite interesting to take one step back and to say, well, it's been a year since we've done this first big deployment on ISO. Well, on ISO for cross-border and high-value payments, huh? Because mm-hmm. we've been doing ISO since very long, since SEPA already, I would say. We've had a proactive approach to implementing ISO in the sense that from our target technology stack, because obviously there's a link as well with the technology investments that the bank is doing, where we've been sending proactively ISO from the start after a small ramp-up period when it comes to customer payments. So the PAX 8 version, we've been quite quickly in adopting that because we just want to get this done quickly and start reaping the benefits. So that's been going quite well. The go live was pretty smooth. As always, when you do these things, you see that probably we've done it as well. We've been receiving some messages from other banks as well with some mismatches in data that creates some more manual work. But overall, that's quite stable. We have some work to be done on the PAX 9 side, which is planned. So, I would say we're at a quite good accelerated pace of getting there. In general, what we see in the market is an adoption rate of, I would say, not far from 20%, knowing that we still have 2 years to go. So I guess there's some work to be done.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned interestingly that you took a very proactive approach in ISO 20022. We see that a lot of banks are basically using boundary translation solutions or using Swift translation to process ISO payments. But I think that's different at BNP, and you went full hog on ISO processing natively. Mm. What made you go towards that decision, and how's that turned out for you so far?
Sure. So first of all, just want to make something clear. We do still use Swift translation mm-hmm. in bespoke geographies where we have not yet migrated to the target technology stack. But overall, effectively, we've gone fully fledged on ISO to start for the simple reason that we want to put ourselves in the target state to be able to, basically face all the challenges that our customers are facing, and building a native infrastructure that is able to cope with the future challenges when it comes to payment processing and rich data. So from that perspective, we've taken, I would say, a proactive approach, and it's starting to pay off in the short run.
Fantastic. And obviously, you're a large bank, you're participants in clearings across the world, a lot of them also having been on ISO or migrating towards it. How's that journey been? Because they say, ISO, it's the universal language, but there's all these different regional dialects. Has that been a challenge to deal with?
It's a challenge. It's time consuming. There's the overlay version of CBPR Plus on Swift, and then there's the HVPS kind of version for the RTGS platforms. Mm-hmm. There's obviously the calendar that we have to follow in Europe, in APAC, in the Americas to migrate at the right time to the new formats. Mm-hmm. And then you have local challenges like UK to take one with LEIs that have to be used, at least for identifying financial institutions and related similar institutions. So, there are some local challenges that we have to tackle, but what we try to do nevertheless is to create a holistic message for our customers to understand to what extent that has only a local influence or to what extent it will actually have a global influence for their worldwide banking relationships.
Yeah, and speaking of LEIs, that's one of the first rich data elements that we're looking at. In the payments that you're sending and receiving, is it just MT messages in ISO clothing, or are we starting to see some actual rich data messages?
It's a bit early days, I would say, because in general, when it comes to local clearing platforms or when it comes to CBPR Plus, until now we've been in wait and see mode. But I would say in the market to say, well, we're sending ISO, but we're not using any rich data elements. That mm-hmm. is now soon to start. So we are soon to see those elements. The only thing that, of course, will be a bit tricky is to what extent there will be adoption, because you need always to tango in a payment, and that's still a bit difficult to see.
So besides being rich, of course, ISO payments are structured. Have you been seeing any benefits as related to this structured data?
Again, early days, but there's one interesting benefit to mention. You know, we're discussing a lot structured addresses, and we're not there yet, to be very clear. But what we do see is that our sanctions filtering processes have become more slick, for the simple reason that we have started as well in our investments on ISO with an investment in native ISO on the side of our sanctions screening infrastructure, which is obviously not in the cash management space. To be able to also look at the native data, and for the simple reason that ISO messages are by themselves more structured, already that is paying off in part. But obviously, we're expecting much more efficiency with the structured addresses to kick in 25 and 26.
Absolutely, and that's a really important thing, right? Because as payments start to become slightly commoditized, it means that we need to think about processing efficiency, straight through processing, and getting those marginal gains.
This is where, even though it's a small start, when you look at the overall ambitions we have with in the community with ISO, it's good to see that having a ISO native approach actually immediately pays off.
Absolutely. Coming back to rich data, have you started to see any corporate use cases around rich data? Are any corporates banging on the door asking, please, can we send rich data or can we receive it?
What? Apart from a few real amateurs, nobody's really knocking on the door. and that's a problem. Because obviously we're making, on a community level, an enormous investment, whether there are banks or market infrastructures, SWIFT, and ultimately the corporates. So we have some nice benefits on paper, but what I'm quite afraid of is that we're never going to make them concrete, and it risks to become kind of a chicken and the egg discussion. So the discussion I'm starting to have left and right, and it's actually even an open invitation to all the viewers to contact us and to have a discussion, is that, you know, take the example of structured remittance data. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks great on paper. We know that lots of corporates are having teams, you know, with several people doing nothing else than reconciling the reporting they get from their payments, typically in the B2B space, to the extent that they're not using pool receivables like requests for payment or direct debits. Structured remittance data has the promise to solve that, but somebody has to start sending it, has to invest to start sending it, and when these invest, they will also need to see some return. So we need to create a momentum around these use cases. That's just one of them, to start small, but start showing that there's a benefit. Probably including the ERP software providers as well in order to make this work. So I think we need to break this chicken and egg cycle to make it more than just theoretic.
Absolutely, and I think you're hitting the key point there, right? Because it's a trifecta of organizational types that you need to address. Mm. You have the banks, both sending and receiving, you have corporates, and you also have their solution providers. Any particular use cases or any specific industries where you see the biggest promises?
I think in general, when it comes to B2B in general, mm-hmm. there's a huge potential for several reasons. Mm-hmm. But first of all, since B2B payments simply are quite data rich, you know, we see often these cases of companies sending payments and saying, well, look at the email with the PDF and match it, you know, this kind of stuff. So clearly there's a benefit in general when it comes to the B2B space. We also know that electronic invoices are going to kick in, and especially in Europe, but also beyond
France,
Europe. you know, the dates are being a little bit postponed, but in the coming years we'll see that. There's a very simple principle to that, according to me, which is to say, well, when the data of an invoice is structured at the basis, because it's an electronic invoice, it actually creates the potential to make the complete payment and receivable chain behind it as well, digital and structured. So that's one that is particularly promising, I think. In combination as well, as I said, with poolside receivables like request for payment, which could also work digitally on the back of electronic invoices. But there will always be credit transfers, you know, for the bulk of invoices, saying I'm paying this invoice for 50% and so on. So there's a clear benefit and potential there for rich data.
Yeah, and certainly in request to pay type of use cases, it makes a lot of sense. And as a consumer, I'd love to be able to see my invoices directly in my banking app and to be able to see them directly in my payments. One of the other things that's coming up in the next year is these new CBPR plus messages related to exceptions, investigations related to charges. Do you see any potential efficiency gains associated to that?
Yeah. So investigations, it's a classic pain. I made a statistic a long time ago where I calculated, it's more than 10 years ago, that one in every 200 cross-border payments ended up in banks having to speak to each other, which was huge. That's become better thanks to initiatives like GPI, but still it's quite important. It's still quite a manual chore, you know. Actually, it's still sending each other basically letters, right? So there are two dimensions to this. The first one is that we should avoid having exceptions and investigations, which we do by better structuring payments, pre-validating the data, and so on and so forth. Standardization. So that should decrease the number of investigations in the future. The second point is, when we still have them, and we will still have them, is try to automate them. And clearly there's a potential for exceptions and investigations in XML mode. We tried that a long time ago with Swift ENI, but we have to bring this back to the table and to make the process for the ones remaining that is fully automatic, at least as much as reasonably possible.
And it's interesting that you mention avoiding exceptions, avoiding investigations. It's also one of the use cases that I'm keen to explore with ISO 20.02. For example, if you have a client who has a name that's similar to someone on OFAC list or on a sanctions list, that you can proactively send additional information such as date of birth, passport numbers, for companies, LEIs, to basically provide your correspondent or the beneficiary bank with that data up front, making that investigation process that much smoother.
And increased transparency, which is a key goal that we should continue to have in the industry.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Wim. This was an insightful discussion. Anything else that you want to add besides this open invitation to discuss ISO use cases with?
Well, I guess the only thing to add is that it's an exciting journey. There's a lot of potential, and I'd just like to reinforce the message to say, well, let's make the benefits more than just theoretical.
Absolutely, and let's catch up again soon to see where we stand then.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gail.
Thanks for listening to After Hours by Red Compass Labs. If you've enjoyed this discussion and are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do follow us to be informed about new podcasts coming up. That's all for this episode. See you next time.